to Last Week on Keith and the Girl. I'm Bianca Brady, and I'm here with Keith Malley and Hemda. She's back. Welcome back.
I'm alive.
I'm so happy to see you.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
It was really tough last week to do the show without you. Just me and Keith, you know?
Oh, yeah? Like,
ooh, what are we going to talk about?
Bianca. I
did not want that show to end. You guys are delightful. And I do have to say, it's funny, like, just hearing your voices, and I start thinking, like, what would I picture? And Keith, you really sound like a Flintstone. You look like a Flintstone. It's fantastic.
You.
Bianca, you lull me into weird places with your
okay.
voice. Yes.
Interesting.
Yes.
Go on.
I think that you would be a really good interrogator.
Yep.
Like, just drinking coffee. Did you have a thought here? I thought you might have a thought here. For some reason, everyone's going to go nuts just telling you all their secrets.
They always do, Hemda.
Yeah.
That's my secret power.
I think it is.
Also, did you know that I get asked for directions on the street at least once a day?
Really?
Yeah. I just have a very approachable vibe, I think.
Have you found that growing up, that people do come to you with secrets?
Yeah. Of course.
We ever mad? Like, I don't want to be the secret. I want to have secrets too.
No, I do have secrets. I don't tell anybody them.
Oh, you know how secrets work.
That's how you do it.
Okay.
But actually at my job, I am like de facto HR. People just stop by my desk and dish.
There's something about you.
I know.
It's fascinating.
What can I say?
Yeah. What can you make people say? Everything.
Yeah.
Well, Bianca, you know, of course, is host of Whitey Puzzleman's Crossword Hour. She goes through the New York Times crossword puzzle weekly, solves it, and then gives you a little behind the scenes. What was the process, etc. And while the show's fairly new, we're at about 15 episodes, she just had on New York Times crossword columnist Deb Amlin.
That is correct.
Big deal.
It's a huge deal. Yeah. It was a huge get for us.
Congrats.
And it was so fun. We had a great conversation. The episode is up. So if you've been thinking, maybe I'll subscribe to that later. Mm-hmm. Maybe do it now instead of later. Do it now. Listen. And then you can expand your mind and be smart and cool and
fun. They called the New York Times the eighth wonder of the world. You ever hear that? That's true.
They call it the Gray Lady.
The Gray Lady, they call it. Do you know that this is true? Times Square is named after the New York Times.
I did.
Yeah, fun fact.
I didn't know that.
Now you know that.
The New York's Times Square.
That's why it's not spelled time apostrophe S. It's times like the New York Times.
Oh.
Got the minions here with me.
Yeah, so listen to that episode. Uh-huh. But before you do that, listen to this episode that you're already listening to. What?
Where do you want me to go?
It's Last Week on Keith and the Girl. You're doing it.
Right.
Wow, guys. I'm calling last week Dads and Daddies.
Uh-huh. What?
Okay.
That sounds
perverted. It's all about dads and Hemda, you know, getting something going.
Yeah. The tube steak smothered in underwear sauce.
Oh, God.
Yeah. She's out of her shell, right?
We'll get to it. I mean, there's a lot to get to, and we'll have to get to it. But
I was seriously wondering your response to this. This is very exciting to me.
We have to start with
Game of Thrones. You're right.
With Game of Thrones.
So yesterday's,
speaking of dads,
Game of Thrones episode had a scene with the Mother of Dragons being jealous of everybody loving Jon Snow, a little celebratory dinner everybody was having for killing the dead, and in front, in a scene with the Mother of Dragons, a Starbucks coffee cup. Mm. And people say, hey, you believe in dragons, why can't they have fast serve coffee?
Really, it's just what they're drinking is mermaid tears. It's different.
So apparently they shot the previous episode over like 11 weeks of night shoots. And you know.
Oh, this just in. People are tired sometimes.
No, but you gotta edit the coffee cup out of the scene. Somebody has to notice it. Mm-hmm. You need like a Where's Waldo expert on every set.
There is. It's a continuity expert, right?
See?
Yeah. It's one of these Keith people where it's like, he had that in the other hand.
Yeah.
You know?
Where... Yeah, and last week the episode was so dark, and the guy with the
cinematographer had an attitude. Yeah. Well, where's his attitude today?
I know. He's like, I meant to do that. They were very tired. They stayed up all night fighting zombies, and sometimes you gotta have your Java.
Well, I can't help but think, does the Mother of Dragons as the actress know, like, shit, I left this on during the scene. I'm not going to say anything and hope it never makes it. I don't want to embarrass myself. It reminds me of Harrison Ford being in the latest Indiana Jones. Mm-hmm. And there's a bar scene. And these two groups are fighting each other. And all of a sudden, Harrison Ford just jumps back as if he was punched. Nobody punched him. Why at the end of that scene doesn't Harrison Ford, whether it's his responsibility or not, go, hey, I don't want to cost you any more money, but I just acted like I got hit like a jerk off.
Because he doesn't think that they're going to, like, sit there in the editing room going, like, let's put that in. He goes, oh, I did that wrong. No one's going to put that in. You can't just edit a movie yourself as an actor.
I'm telling you.
Or maybe she was like, can we strike the coffee? Can we strike? Fuck it. Whatever. Yeah.
She's like, look, I'm just happy they're not making me take my tits out again. I'm not going to complain about a coffee mistake.
Yeah, she had some cool outfits this episode. By the way, Keith, did you notice all the cool outfits?
Very cool outfits. I totally forgave them for making her all of a sudden a whole new character that's just a bitch.
You thought that was unearned?
She always wanted the power, but all of a sudden she's getting tougher and tougher.
Yeah, because she's choking. She's not. She can't. She's a conqueror. Mm-hmm. She's not a ruler.
Now, when you have the little person and Jon Snow and the Mother of Dragons up against Cersei, why doesn't Cersei just kill them all immediately?
Because she likes a little bit of gamesmanship.
Okay.
She likes a little Game of Thrones.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
That's the only thing I can participate in.
It's chess, baby.
Okay.
Not checkers.
Could you explain to me why the boring Jon Snow has no problem leaving his dog behind for absolutely no reason?
Because he knows that the dog will be safer and have more fun with Tormund Giant's Bane.
More fun.
But also, I think I perceived it as a symbolic gesture of him sort of foregoing his Stark roots and going now into full Targaryen.
Okay. Speaking of which, did the one-handed knight all of a sudden become a bad character?
You don't
again?
Know anybody's name. It's really troubling. This show has been on for so many seasons.
Who do I mean?
Jaime Lannister.
Of course. Why is he bad all of a sudden?
He's always been bad. Mm-hmm. And then Brienne helped it. This was the best, though, when she was like, don't go. And he was like, no, you're too, you know, like we've all been broken up with in this way where it's like, you're too good. You're too nice. And I'm a bad man. And I gotta go fuck my sister.
Nothing,
you know?
Did nothing in that show bother you? I thought it was the worst one ever made.
I didn't like the episode.
Oh, okay. And there we are. And there we are, folks.
You didn't ask me that. And if you just ask me the question, right, I'd answer it.
Could have saved some time.
Yeah.
All right.
Do you want to talk about Father, Son, and Holy Shit with Mike Cannon?
Yes, I do.
It seems like so long ago.
It does. First show of the week.
So much has happened.
We were recording my opening line.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Cannon was not scheduled for a Keith and the Girl episode. He was only scheduled for my opening line.
And he was talking about his dad, and there were so many similarities to me with my dad that I knew we had to do a Keith and the Girl episode. And then we made the comparisons. And I read the beginning of the back and forth emails between me pretending I'm my ex and my dad. A lot of fun.
Yeah.
That's when the emails were a little more innocent.
Yep.
Right?
Well, I'm not all caught up, so no spoilers. This is like Game of Thrones 2.
Yeah.
Keith versus Mike. Yeah, I thought it was a great conversation, and especially as somebody who has a complicated dad in a similar way. Mm-hmm. I was relating super hardcore, but it's different for me because with you and Mike, it's interesting how like into your life your dad wants to be and like obsessed with like what you're doing. My dad just like doesn't even know he doesn't know anything about what's going on with me. So I think it's kind of interesting for the problem to be like, you're trying to get too involved because I'm always like, hey, remember me? I'm also here.
I have that same thing. My dad has not been interested, asked a question, curious about even what his daughter does for a living. Like, I remember this is years ago, over a decade ago. We were in that first studio, and this is when we had to mail Keith's albums. And we would, like, print them ourselves. We would make copies. We would put them together. I'd take them. I had this big garbage bag that I would go into the post office with, and I ran into my dad. And I had this big, giant bag of what the fuck do you do for a living,
right?
You know? And so I said, I was like, well, actually, I produce these. Hello, I'm using these words. I produce these, and I'm putting it out to some people who actually bought them. I didn't want to explain it. I might have said comedy, but, you know, I didn't want to say, here's this boyfriend at the time that I had right. that is talking a lot of shit. But I thought, that's a honest and, you know, forward way to speak to him. And he goes, okay. Yeah. But do you know any other producers? I don't.
Right.
Did I? You thought I was a clown? Like I was a clown until 5 minutes ago, where you saw me in the post office.
Well, my dad would just think I'm an idiot. When he sends mail, he thinks he's producing mail.
So that's the thing. Keith's dad is interested in him, but he's not. He's like interested in some story he made up in his head, and that's so insulting to go, Keith, how do you make money on podcasts? And it's like, what, am I going to say this again? Like, just watch my TED Talk. This is ridiculous.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I just was like, dads, you know, because I think everybody's got something with a parent or, you know, it could be a mom or a dad or, you know, they right. we're all fucked up because they fucked us up because they got fucked up by whoever fucked them up and on and on and on. But I think it's interesting to see how different dads are bad. And I like to talk about it in terms of how I think about it in my head is there's a bad dad Olympics and not all bad dads compete in every event.
Oh, that's like, a good one.
My dad is bad in, you know, the pavilion where your dad might be bad in the, you know, racetrack area.
That's funny.
So,
yeah, like you might have an addict dad, whereas like somebody else's dad is not, but they have.
They're overbearing like, or.
They're always 2 hours late.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. They never gave you a fruit or vegetable in their life.
Right. Like my dad did leave me in the car one time when he went into the methadone clinic.
Huh?
But. Right. We also had a lot of fun dance parties.
Sure. He was high as fuck.
What are you going to do? You know?
That's the problem. It's sometimes they're so fun.
Yes.
Yeah. My dad was really one of the most fun people growing up.
Like, me too.
So funny and charming, and he really knows how to be biting with his jokes. But then when like real life comes, he's like, oh no, that wasn't a joke. And I'm like, well, I don't know if your jokes are funny anymore because I think you're just saying shit.
My dad was good at giving me a donut when he was trying to sneak one himself from mom.
See?
And then the other events, you know, they are what they are.
One good thing, gratitude journal.
I believe in the beginning of the emails during that show, when I was pretending to be my ex, is he starts explaining what went wrong, how to get me and my ex back together. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously all this is behind my back. And says, well, what I think went wrong is, and the first sentence is, you are extremely beautiful. You should not have gone business trips with all these young men at the beginning of right. your, you know, which is some kind of weird projecting that right. I'm curious, what does that mean? So what went on in your life?
So insulting.
Yeah.
But I don't know. He just like seems to have this rubric of how things should be.
Yeah, but it's not consistent other than stupidity, to be honest.
It's just he's so self-absorbed.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's real. I mean, he's right. It's like he's writing these emails to Catherine in air quotes, but it's really you. But really, he's writing the emails to himself
right.
to
right.
feed his ego and validate that he's right. Yeah. About everything.
Yeah. And my girlfriend would say, careful, you're pretty obviously writing these emails in your own voice. And I said, it doesn't matter.
No.
Everything's in his voice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it wouldn't change. I can write it in hieroglyphics, honestly. Emoji. Next email is going to be all emojis.
And he'll be like, interesting point. Now I think.
Right. Right. We asked the audience for the poll, do you get along with your biological father? Your choice is yes, no, or they're dead / never met them. Almost 2-1. Yes, as opposed to no. Yes, they get along.
Wow, what? Who? Where? What?
This is the Hendy you were describing last week, right? They're dead, never met them, 1/4 of our listeners.
Well, I don't know how I would answer that because I do get along with him, but he's crazy.
Right.
You know?
Well, what people said, like, they wrote yes, but that they don't talk. It's like, well, I did add the word, to be clear, I added the word well. Do you get along well? Mm. Do I get along with my dad? Believe it or not, we don't fight. We don't this and that.
I get along great with my dad. Yeah, but he sits in his corner and I'm in New York.
Yeah, so I'm not going to type, yes, we get along well. I don't think it's that complicated.
No.
I don't know, man. Dads. I think maybe it's too much for your science.
Maybe.
But maybe you just haven't found the perfect way to word the poll question yet.
All right. By the way, I learned later on, not to jump ahead, my dad took a major in business and a major in chemistry and another minor.
Stop it.
In what? League baseball?
In Major League Baseball. Minor League Baseball.
Good for him.
Yeah. Now, where that went or what happened or did he graduate? Who knows? Just a little facts here and there.
He didn't even mention the school, did he? I don't remember.
State College. That's all you
need
to know.
Yeah.
Harvard. Heard of it. should we move on?
Sure.
Suicide Solution with Trey Gallion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is this the big reveal episode? I think it is.
This is where Hemd is talking about lover Xerxes.
The way you say that is so gross.
I don't believe that's
Please
until...
Please don't turn me off to my lover.
That wasn't until these two animals... I think that wasn't until Mike Kaplan, if I'm not mistaken, the show after.
Yeah.
During Trey, we were talking... Okay. We were talking about it is before Xerxes comes later because in this episode with Trey, we're talking about why doesn't Hemda just kill herself with all these bad things going on? And Hemda gives a reason and explains what happiness really is.
Yeah, you really touched a lot of hearts with that.
Thanks.
Why happiness, do you just accept it? It's a feeling like anything else.
It flows in and out of you, just like whatever, you know, be cool, man.
Right.
420, bro.
We were talking about Trey's sister. Mm-hmm. Trey said she's of a certain age and never had sex yet.
Mm-hmm.
Then I saw on the forum somebody said, should we be talking about Trey's sister? Like, Trey's here. I guess it's up to Trey.
Also, it's so funny what people decide, like, oh, I feel uncomfortable with this. It's like, what?
Right.
We've been talking about everybody's sex life. She's not having sex, so we're not really revealing anything.
Right.
It's not like she's kept it a secret.
Right.
Yeah, I'm sure she's proud of it because she's not married. She shouldn't be fucking.
Well, Trey didn't read her diary.
Yeah, and he was very clear that he didn't know what was up with it.
Right.
It's not like he's like, she didn't have sex because her vagina is a shark. You know.
Right. I heard of those.
This person's okay, by the way, with me talking about my dad, but not Trey's sister.
Right.
I know. It's interesting.
One of them is definitely
people
wrong.
Pick out to be upset about. Are you okay, listener?
Right.
You don't have to listen, but you should. Stay tuned.
Well, we asked the audience for the poll. Are you a virgin who's at least 25 years old? One person said yes.
Mm-hmm. I read this.
And then I saw that...
Somebody was like, do go on.
Finger Lake said, who's the one person I'd like to know? So the one person writes and says, what would you like to know, Finger Lakes? I will try to answer. I guess I'll start by male, 39, straight. Is it a choice? No.
39. Okay.
I'm filled with anxiety most of the time. So in part, I feel I will only be a burden for someone. I don't try. But I'm feeling more confident. I'm on apps. I'm trying more often now. And those rare chances, I can talk with women. But I generally... It feels like an interview or a monologue. Damn. And then what bothers me about this, Finger Lakes never follows up. He goes, hey, why don't you let me know what the problem is? Okay, here's the problem. Not interested like all the chicks. Bye. Bye.
Finger Lakes, don't reject this man.
Yeah, you asked. He's in your life now.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Like I would want to know, because I'm completely understand. It's weird talking to people and it does turn into an interview so quickly. And what makes you even interested and why would you want to put your tongue in somebody else's mouth? It's just, if you think about it too hard, to me, it's like eggs. Like if I think about eggs too hard, I get off eggs and I can't eat eggs.
Yeah. I get what you're saying, but I think you're probably just so in your head at that point because you were like, oh, it's been so long. Like, I don't know. I guess you got to go back in time to when you were a teenager and make some bad decisions.
Let somebody else take care of Hitler and just look at your life as a kid.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't even picture it. It's just probably because I'm so hot.
Right. Maybe that's it. You can't, what's the worst that can happen? That's what you say to yourself with anything. And okay, what are you going to do? Be embarrassed by another stranger? Who gives a shit?
Yeah, it's not a big deal.
Right.
I mean, if this person is listening, I would say, like, good for you. You're doing great. Mm-hmm. Keep
yeah.
at it.
Yeah.
Sounds like no diseases.
Try and think about what you might want.
Right.
And realize that it's always going to be disappointing.
I think practice on people that you're not attracted to, including men. You know, because striking up a conversation with a man is very, very difficult.
Oh, I thought you meant having sex.
Whatever. Honest to God, yeah. A consenting hamster. Look.
Okay, Keith.
Whatever you... Consenting hamster. Calm down.
I really need to calm down a lot more often recently, according to Keith.
Oh, please. Follow your Instagram. Yes, maybe. What a pervert. We'll get there. Which leads us to Mike Kaplan.
Yes. Friends with benefits.
Oh, let me go back real quick. I apologize. Okay. Oh, no, this is Mike Kaplan, right. The poll, does Hemda O'Keefe $20 when she gave the news about Xerxes? 22% said no.
Well, if she didn't owe him then she certainly owes him now.
I think so. Thank you.
Spoiler alert.
She might owe him 40.
Right? It should add up. It's getting so disgusting. I mean, sweet.
So this is the big reveal. Mm-hmm. I texted Keith. And I said, whoa, major bombshell alert, Hemda and Xerxes. Because when Keith and I recorded last week, Keith mentioned something
I was boning while you were talking about it.
Okay. Well, see? I don't
Thank you, folks. I need to calm down more. Should a woman be told to calm down? Okay, Hemda, we all got your subtext.
So now that we have the timeline.
Yeah.
And Keith said something about, like, so Hemda and Xerxes.
Yeah.
And I was like, right? Huh?
You said, where there's smoke, there's fire. And then you happen to go to the bathroom. And I'm thinking, does that really fit, where there's smoke, there's fire in this situation? And what she meant was, I think, I can see what's happening. How aren't they together? Who knows? And that's when I realized, oh, you don't know yet. And then you came back and we just did the show. I figured it'd be a nice surprise.
Yeah, he gave me a little sneak preview. But then when I heard, I mean, my jaw was on the floor.
Was it?
Yeah.
All right.
It was.
What made you surprised by it? Because you already said smoke and fire.
Yeah, I mean, I knew it was going to happen.
Okay.
Or I knew it could happen.
Okay.
But I was surprised that you made the decision to pursue it.
It's like shocking and not shocking, right?
Well, to me, it just feels very unsafe.
How so?
Oh, yeah?
Because they're friends?
Emotionally unsafe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was getting a little nervous. But then I said, it's not your life. Everybody's an adult.
What's nerve-wracking about it?
Well, I just...
I'm not saying like what could be. I know that there's nerve-wracking.
I just think that you and he are so close and you've obviously leaned on your support system since getting divorced and being by yourself. But throughout you being by yourself, Xerxes was kind of with you.
Yeah.
And so you became partnered in a way.
Yeah.
On accident.
Yes.
And then instead of saying, okay, maybe like take a look at what this is, you just kind of have doubled down on it. Which to me, if I were you, would be what I would do.
She does the celibacy for a year, but now this is almost the opposite.
I mean, do you feel like you have set up boundaries with Xerxes in your relationship?
We talked about it. Like we talked about...
Butt stuff.
We did talk about butt stuff. Again,
I don't need to know.
We talked about... Okay, so actually back in December... he was already like getting divorced and I was getting divorced. And so
it's May now.
I know. Okay. But back in December, cause I remember talking to my brother about it. Cause we were trying to figure out a timeline of what the fuck happened. Mm-hmm. Right. So back in December, I was like, oh shit. This like, cause I started talking about, well, what happens after my celibacy? I was trying to like figure things out. And in my mind, I'm listing things and all my lists, like Xerxes has it. And I'm like, oh shit, I'm starting to like consider it.
Mm-hmm. And Xerxes then has what?
Has like the list of things that I want in a partner, like the things that would make me happy, that I would want to pursue, that I would want to like do stuff with. And I'm like, oh shit, that's...
You think this is somebody making the chart when they already have the answer? It's like, what am I looking for? An unkempt beard. I'm looking for somebody that's kind of laid back and you don't know if they're listening at first.
Somebody who's already at my house.
Somebody who drives, has a daughter, 5 to 7 years old would be prime.
He doesn't drive and she's turning 10. Okay, so, yeah.
I think you get my point.
Yeah, I mean, but basically that's what was going on in my head. And I was like, well, this whole year is for me to look at stuff like that, because I'll start equating people as my partner in whatever way, sexual partner. Like if you're available and we're having fun, I will already start considering it. So I tried to like...
You kept scratching out your list. You're like, no, not 5. 10. Doesn't drive. You don't drive? Doesn't drive.
And so I was like, oh shit, I'm considering my friend. I'm like, okay, I'm considering him. But then he was like... maybe we should talk about some stuff. I'm like, oh God, I'm being too obvious maybe, you know, and I don't want to talk about this, but I knew that like it wasn't something that we couldn't talk about.
Right.
You know, so I was like, I'm not really ready to talk about this, but obviously, you know, the lists that I'm making and I think that you're making, we're both on them. And so the consideration has begun, but I'd like to shelf it. And he was like, yeah, me too. And I think it's important for us to shelf that, you know, where we are, where you are, and, you know, you expressed it very clearly, but that, and that we strengthen our friendship so that if something happens, we know how to deal with it between us. Like, so we know that the friendship is strong enough that the sex thing, if it happens, if we allow it to happen later, it won't affect it as strong, or it won't like tear us apart as friends. So we started talking about it and then we like shelved it again.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, but your behavior with regard to the way that you spent time didn't...
Yeah, it accelerated.
It didn't seem to match any kind of shelving. And I think that, like, putting... And not to... I'm not a doctor. But I think putting, like...
But you've seen them.
I have visited one. Okay. Or two. I think putting sex into something is definitely a step, but it's not the step. I think that like what's been happening with you and Xerxes for the past few months has been kind of more indicative of what this is than just any type of sexual congress, if you will.
Yeah, which complicates what I had originally planned. And I'm afraid that I'm going to keep like... headstrong about like, and I'm not monogamous and I don't care how much this adds up and like, you're not my boyfriend, but it's like, whatever. This
right.
is ridiculous.
Right.
But I don't really know what to do about that other than like what I am doing and being careful.
Exactly.
And mindful.
I'm not saying like, I think it's important that you change your behavior. I just think it's important that you keep an eye on your recovery.
Yeah.
And keep going to meetings and keep thinking about yourself in terms of yourself and not yourself in terms of you and this new situation.
Yeah. And I have to make decisions like make plans with other people because it's so easy to make plans with him. It's so right. easy to like just, well, I know I'm going to have fun if I hang out with him, but maybe I should keep, you know, my other friendships intact and like not be obsessive. Does it mean anything to anybody that Andrea was doing like just dances of joy while Bianca was talking about it?
Andrea just yeah. gave me 2 thumbs yeah. up. She's, the Roger Ebert special.
She's so fucking psyched about this.
Does she want to come to the look stage? At her.
No, she doesn't. Today's the day.
Well, I'm just not up for it.
I was dancing behind you, but if you need it.
She, just so you guys know, in all caps, I just realized she slacked me. Bianca is so wise.
Keith, is it okay if I come on mic?
Since you're around.
Since I'm around. I don't want it or anything at all. Just have somebody.
Hello, Andrea.
Thank you, Bianca. Truth teller. Bianca like serves the realness, but in such a more palatable package that people listen to you. I got to take a page out of your book because you use fancy words and you keep your tone at an even. Yeah.
In all fairness, I did say that you are right and continue to be right about everything you've told me about this.
Thank you so much. Yes. Thank you so much. Yeah, I do. I mean, it's what I
said. And I told you even more than I think I've told anybody because there's something that clicks with you that you get it and you get Xerxes and you get what we're doing and you've been in my house a lot with him. And
what's so fucking deep, though? You're around each other all the time, so you're going to fuck.
Thank you, everybody. God. Good night.
Well, if I was wrong, then okay, but I'm right.
No, that's true. You know, have you heard of Reader's Digest? Mm-hmm. It's like a synopsis of a longer story.
Yes.
So you just did that.
In and out.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
I feel like Xerxes would be hearing this going like, I think I did a little more work than just that.
That's a lot of work. You're around all the time. Mm-hmm. It's not easy.
I wouldn't consider being around Hamda work per se. I think he enjoys being around you. But yeah, I think that you've been a couple. You've been pretending you're not a couple. But you have been a couple for like at least 3 to 4 months now, I would say, something like that. But I would be interested to know how often he's at your house, like what percentage of your time are you spending together?
I don't know. At least half my hangouts include him.
Okay.
In a week.
So what are
at least half.
So what are all your hangouts? What's your full hangout capacity, bro?
I know Thursday night I'm usually at Too Many Cooks.
Uh-huh.
And then I try to sprinkle in other friends, like go out to dinner with someone, like people outside of comedy also, mm-hmm. Al-Anon stuff. Mm-hmm. So I go to meetings.
What do your Al-Anonies think?
Oh, they're so into it.
Yeah, they are?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but they've watched me like be very upset about this one dude and then like talk about recovery from like not being able to have loving feelings to like this excitement about like do I don't I and stuff like that. So they're like very gentle with because they're talking to me from recovery, so they're going to be gentle about everything.
Well, I think the fact that you've approached this from a more considered place in general is like indicative of all the work that you've done in your recovery, which is and I'm not trying to like say that you're doing the wrong thing or you're doing the right thing or anything. I just know how I am as an Al-Anonic, and I know that I've been in a really similar relationship years ago where I was best friends with somebody and then we were roommates and we would like sleep in the same bed for like a year and didn't have sex. And then
it's very comforting to feel a friendship without putting that, even if like it looks stupid or, you know, obviously you're sleeping in the same bed or whatever, there's something that is in between actually making that person your lover and like,
yeah, it's just kind of this weird, safe companionship thing.
But then?
Oh, it all went.
Shit hit the fan real hard.
But it was nice for a while, you know?
Well, I think also like, something I learned in Sex and Love Addicts is that like sex addicts swing from one side of the pendulum to the other side. Mm-hmm. So they'll have a relationship that's considered like quote unquote like dangerous, like someone who's very obviously dysfunctional and like excites them, like, you know, doing the bad drugs or eating the junk food. And then
they'll go on a diet.
Yeah.
And, like, only eat vegetables.
Sure. And then they'll go with the safe person that doesn't feel like a threat to them.
Yeah.
But like that's still unhealthy because it's just on the other side of the spectrum.
I know I heard you say that and I was like, yeah, that sounds like it's appropriate. Like I feel so safe with him.
Yeah. Like it seems but I don't, like a way to try like to control.
Thing I'm looking for.
Sure. Absolutely.
That's the hard part is like he's so safe. I really like that.
Sure. It's hard to untangle, you know, especially when you're in it. But it does not seem like a coincidence to me that you go from one very toxic relationship to one that seems very safe and someone you had not romantically considered before. You know, I guess you've never been in the position to romantically consider one another.
That was also part of what kept it safe. Yeah. Like I knew we were married. So, and I knew he was serious about his relationship and I was serious about mine. So that was part of the safe thing. He'll never misunderstand this.
Right.
I won't misunderstand what he's saying to me. We're not going to cross boundaries. It's just not going to happen, not even in our minds.
Right.
So that felt safe. And then all of a sudden he's getting divorced and I'm like, oh, now no matter what, it's on the table because the only reason it was off the table is because I'm not considering my married friend.
Sure, sure. Would you have considered him, like, in the world where you just met each other?
If somebody showed me a picture of him, I'd be like, who's your fucking hot friend?
Oh, so yeah. Then there you go.
If somebody showed me a picture, I'd be like, oh,
gosh.
Mommy like.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to tell with these things.
It is, and I have discussed it with him. I'm like, this is not only my pattern, it's your pattern, because he's also a serial monogamer. And I was like, what makes you not scared at least a little bit that you're in this place right now? Like, what makes you, like, you know, and we do talk about it, so he is considering it. It's like, I can't help but think I'm in the same place. And then it's like, oh, well, now I'm conscious and I know about things and I'm being on it. And I'm like, well, I always thought I was conscious in that place. I always thought I was being thought out. I always thought that, like, you know, look at everybody liking my partner and, like, all this shit. But at the same time, he's been consistent about, you know, when he says something, he means it, he does it. He's never been cruel. He's been, like, not, I don't, there's no confusion. If there's ever, like, a misunderstanding of what he said, I always lean on, well, this is, it's not going to be a bad thing, but I do ask, and it gets clarified in 5 seconds. Like,
but I think also that when you, that now that this is a little different, not better, not worse, just different, when you have any kind of a feeling or an issue with regards to your relationship with Xerxes, whether it be friendship or sexual or otherwise, you will have to rely on your support system that's outside of Xerxes.
Yes. So I'm trying to maintain that.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you want to hear a little behind the scenes? Did I cut you off?
No. But,
so after the first couple of days that we were messing around, I wasn't really talking to anybody. I didn't really tell anybody, but it's like, you know, you kind of want to talk about it. Luisa was coming over from Too Many Cooks, but he was over. I'm like, why don't you stick? And we're all three friends. Like, we hang out a lot, all three of us together. Mm-hmm. But I want to be alone with her because I can't talk about you while you're there. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to. So I'm like, why don't you stay, smoke a thing with us, and then, like, you know, give me some time.
I'm going to talk about your dude.
Basically. So she's over. We smoke. And I tell her ahead of time, like, yeah, Xerxes is going to join us, smoke for a spliff, and then, like, you know, head out. And so when we're smoking, she's like, oh, you're heading out? Like, why? You want to give us girl time? And there's, like, a space. And I go, yeah, he does. Uh-huh. Stop it. Uh-huh. And she's like, oh, all right. And I'm like, all right, that's got to be the end of that, right?
But she's so, joking, like, she knew you just told her this, right?
No, she's like, oh, we're, like, how come you're leaving? Like, because, you know, it's very easygoing with all three. Like, why would Xerxes leave? And she doesn't know that I did anything yet.
Okay.
So I just, So I'm waiting until he leaves for me to go, like, bah. So he's about to leave and she goes, oh, you're really leaving? Like, you don't want to stay? And I'm like, oh, God, fucking hell. Yes, he's leaving. Mm-hmm. Right. And she's like, really? And I go, stop. Yes. And yes, this is what we decided already. Stop making it complicated. Mm-hmm. So he leaves. And as soon as the door closes, I just start laughing and go, how are you the worst? And she just starts laughing and go, I fucking boned him. Can I talk to you about it? And she's like, oh, I'm the fucking worst. I'm always the worst. She's so clueless. She's clueless when it happens to her. She's clueless when it happens to other people. And she's like, oh, this is so bad. And I'm just like, it's fine. But you're the worst. Like, you are the worst. That was
she's
the
like you.
Worst.
Yeah. She's like you. You but just got a mirror into you.
Completely. But
what's
I'm like,
what's going on over there? What are you guys... You want to hang out? What are you talking about? What's going on?
Am I that bad? Because I was like, no, you're worse. This is crazy.
I'm also bad like that. I know when people are hitting on me, but I'm a horrible wingman. I can't handle any type of, like, DL-ness.
Comical. I was like, are you fucking with me? Mm-hmm. Stop. Mm-hmm. I already said.
Keith?
Hey, best of luck. I don't know. Well, it leads to the next show with
Joe.
Wait, would you have me change anything, Andrea?
Do you really? Do you want the real answer?
Yeah, of course.
I don't.
Keith has made several doodles. I'll have you know. Andrea, go on. This is my show.
Well, yes. I mean, but that's the thing. It's like you're going to do what you're going to
sure.
do. But if I was in charge of such a thing, which is a crazy world.
This is some preamble.
Yeah. I would say that you should date a lot more. Like, I think you should date a lot other more people. And not have him over, like, I would imagine 4 days a week. Is that an accurate depiction?
You're starting to sound like my therapist.
Yeah.
I don't want to argue 4 days a week. I don't know, but
you don't want to argue by because you know I'm right. Is that
probably?
It? Yeah,
I haven't
seen a calendar.
Fully considered it, but
no way to know.
That's like a partner, you know.
Yeah.
So I would say, like, again, if I could control things, mm-hmm. or like the quote unquote healthy,
and I am merely God's vessel.
The quote unquote healthy thing to do would be to date a lot of people, so that you continue to like be on your own and be with yourself. But fuck it. I mean, when I'm, you know.
I know you're also into it, and like whenever I talk to you about it, you're like excited for me.
I don't want to be negative about Xerxes.
I don't think you're ever negative about Xerxes.
But it's just like, it seems like a pattern.
Yeah.
That is continuing in a completely unchanged manner. No lessons learned. So.
Okay. Bianca?
You're an idiot. And you deserve all the pain that you get. I don't want you to have anything nice. I want you to be alone with your fucked up leg, crying, no companionship,
cool.
Only sadness.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot.
That's what I like, yeah.
And that's the best for me. If it's the best, it's the best.
Sure.
We just want what's best
for
you.
We need you to struggle more in life.
Suffering.
Yeah.
Joe DeVito?
Yeah.
His take, it's all too complicated for him.
Well, you know? It is complicated. We put the poll up.
It wouldn't be as complicated if I was dating a 20-year-old.
At the
figure out what to do with that shit.
Zing. The poll was, the show's beginning is Hemda delusional. And what we're saying is, Hemda's saying, okay, me and Xerxes are doing what we're doing, but I'm still going to date. And I can picture Xerxes, one of us, we're babysitting the kid and the other's on a date and dropping the other person off at a date.
I'm not dropping anyone off.
Okay, you know what I'm talking about.
No, you're talking about, but you always have to like extra it.
You can't trick me. Okay, no, trick Xerxes, yeah. Trick you.
Sure.
You can't trick me. So all this hullabaloo around as if it's perfectly normal. She's that evolved.
I did not say as if it's perfectly normal. I said, I know this is strange. I might not actually be able to do it. This is what I would like. It's a super evolved world that maybe possibly nobody has access to, but I don't want to miss out on my friend's stuff.
But don't you think that that is a way for you to become even more intimate with Xerxes in this partnered way?
I'm going to rate his app for dating.
Like, mm-hmm. I'm the person who he goes on a date and then he comes back and tells about it.
Let's say that's the case. Why is it bad to be intimate in that way? If we're already being intimate on a thoughtful
level. I'm not saying
level.
It is, but I'm saying like, what is your objective in terms of,
I guess to not lose that friendship part where if we weren't sleeping with each other, he would tell me this information and now I have to miss it.
Yeah, you can't like say you want, you can't be like, I want it to be this and this and this thing that don't exist, but I'm going to say that I want it like
but
that.
But can I say it has existed for me in the past where like I am perfectly fine knowing that you went on a date, that you slept with someone, that like all this stuff, it ends up being bad for people don't want to hear it about me.
But what if he fell in love with someone?
I know that is a huge risk, but it's like I can't lock him up because I'm afraid to lose the romantic part of our relationship.
Name
I
five.
Think that's rude.
Name five things in this world that are weird that I can see your fucking gauge.
I'm not saying this stuff is not abnormal, but we do all the abnormal things. There's not many things in my life that you would say, oh, this is normal. So if we can watch me step outside of my comfort zone and like normality and whatever we're considered like a normal life, then we realize this is sort of on par with what I do. I'm not just going with the regular thing. And like I said, I don't know if I should reiterate it, but I really have been okay with people that I care about going on dates, sleeping with people, because I don't consider that a separation.
I don't mean you, I mean him.
Yeah, it's usually the guys or the other partner that has issues with it.
Like in my, I don't know Xerxes' romantic history. I know he's been married twice. That's kind of like the most I know about it. And he shares with me, I think, probably as much as he shares with, not you, but a regular friend. And I don't know if he's ever been in an open relationship before, but my view is that he's really interested in you. And that's his only interest. That's kind of the vibe that I get.
Yeah, I get that.
So it's like, is that fair to him? Who fucking knows.
I think it's fair of me not to decide if that's fair for him if he keeps saying that he listens to the show, he listens to me personally, he likes this way about me.
And I guess I wonder, like, I always wonder in these situations, and I'm not saying this is a situation where either one is more into one another, but you say you're more open, you're into this like openness and stuff, and he's into just being monogamous, but because he loves you or likes you so much, he'll just do whatever you want to do to still be with you. Is the onus then on the person who, as much, I hate this word, but who has more power, quote unquote, in the relationship to like end it because it's unfair?
I think because we're of a certain age now, right, and because the things that he has expressed to me when they're uncomfortable or when they're not uncomfortable has been completely the truth and he's responded from that place, I have to take his word because otherwise he's lying to me anyway.
Right.
He's just lying to me, and he's just lying to me so that we can be a couple. And then we're going to be a terrible couple because all of these things stem from lying. All this locking up shit, all this like be this or be that is just not what I'm interested in. But I fully understand if he's like, I'm no longer comfortable with that. And yeah, then I have to deal with it then. And then maybe I'm not uncomfortable. Or I don't know. But it's like, to me, it's like getting pregnant just in case I want a baby. I can't do it.
Yeah.
Wow. Do you feel weird that you have matching tattoos with him?
What a coincidence that worked out. If things do go south, I'm on your side, Hemda. All right. I just found out he doesn't even have a fucking car. With you, I can get through the handicap lines.
Should we move on to Joe DeVito? We have to move on.
Sure.
So sorry.
Briskly.
Well, the poll is in relation to this. The show's beginning is Hemda delusional. 76% say yes.
Okay. Interesting. That's too bad because, like I said, my unconventional life has been, you know, I've heard the word inspiring to people, like, mm-hmm, you don't have to do the things that you promised as a 5-year-old. You know, mm-hmm, what I mean?
What, minus your career, what's been unconventional about your...
I don't have children.
Yeah.
I was queer married.
Sure.
I don't talk to my parents because of very specific ideas. I'm an atheist.
She only urinates? Mm.
It's everything that I was raised to be, I'm not. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm used to people being uncomfortable with my illegitimate ways, mm-hmm, you know? I know.
Sinner.
Yeah, like kind of, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, what makes you think this will be okay? And I'm like, I don't know. What makes you think having babies will be okay? What makes you think getting married will be okay? What makes you think any of this is okay? I'm a comic for a living, a podcaster. It didn't even exist when I was a kid. Like, there is no convention. So I can't help but go, like, this is how I live my life. I'm trying so desperately to like live in the truth as much as possible. Mm-hmm. So if this person wants to come with me, like with like truth constantly being told.
Right on that fucking stain pillow.
Sounds cool to you me. Know?
Mm-hmm. Surf that poon slop.
I don't want to talk about the stain.
Right?
No, thank you.
Did you come across it?
No.
Okay. You have a filter on?
I just heard about it.
Adult content filter.
I can't imagine it for
Did
myself.
Did you see it, Andrea?
Yeah, you showed me in person.
Oh, yeah, I was so
I get
happy.
It. I get the full HD poon slop experience.
Wait,
all the
in
time.
In person?
Not like I was like putting my head next to it. She showed me a photo on her phone.
But you would see it in person. I remember she was helping me clear out my house and she's like, what are these drawers? And I'm like, oh, those are my sex drawers. And she's like, she just looked. I'm like, yeah, you can look at it. Just goes through it and shit.
Yeah.
She doesn't care.
I'm just being devil's advocate. I'm playing child rapist lawyer right now to try to protect you.
Just so you know, I'm playing this in my head all the time. I'm playing it vocally to him. Like, yeah, being really honest about, like, everything seems great, but this is my pattern. That's my hesitation.
Sure.
That is it. That's my hesitation. Otherwise, I'm like, yeah, all in. Like, what the fuck is wrong? I can't name anything other than this is my pattern. I don't want to just
end up in the same place again.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, I fucking fell for it again.
Yeah.
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 Oh, I've been there 25 yeah, plus times.
Me too.
Yeah. And I'm sure that could be very insulting to a person who's only been consistently great to you, but it's not insulting.
But
to
it's not about him. That's the thing. It's just all about you.
And that's what's good. He's considering like his part, my part. No one like blames each other. No one gets angry with each other. He's not like, you know, those weird responses to things where it's like, oh, you're just jealous. You're just mad at me right now.
Yeah.
But I didn't do it. There's no anger. There's no like, I wish you didn't say that. In fact, I said, I don't have to talk about you on the show. Like, this is, you live a private life. I know what I do for a living is weird. And he's like, I will never tell you not to say anything to anyone on air, off air, because...
What do you think, Hamza? Yeah, let's go with that. My name is Xerxes. Right.
Well, he's saying, like, you know, there's a lot of people stopping, you know, if we start telling each other who to tell what to, then now we're telling each other what to do, which I think is dangerous.
Sure.
Well, I didn't actually say that. I was saying that I need to consider it and that you can tell me if you're uncomfortable, I'll stop. And he's like, I don't think you should.
Well, if Xerxes turns out to be an asshole, that would be, what a twist. God, I don't even know.
But I remember thinking that about Hennessy.
I know.
You know?
No, but I remember at first, yeah, Hennessy was great, but I remember there was a turning point where I was like, I don't know, what the fuck's going on with this guy, you know?
Yeah, whereas but that, I've never that beginning felt... part.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, but you know what? I remember in the beginning.
India's like, I'll say that.
Sure. Yeah. No, but in my thinking back, I remember in the beginning, there's so many red flags, but that's what scares me about this.
What were the red flags in the beginning with Hennessy?
His anger issues, like very trigger angry, but you know, to me, like...
Like first year you saw these things?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
All right, well then.
And I, you know...
Pretty much your fault then.
Well, to me, I thought people get angry, but you know what? Nobody has to get mad.
No.
Not really. Like, I think I was so used to, like, people's response, like, mm-hmm. Oh, well, your butt hurts, so you get to be angry. And I'm like, nah, I'm never... Like, you drove me that angry,
yeah.
You know, but there's no reason.
Did we cover it?
Yeah.
Andrea?
I say have fun.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Have fun and, like, light your life on fire or don't. I don't fucking know. I don't know.
My Polly references are Mike Kaplan and Billy Presida, and so it's laughable to me. That's all.
Yeah. That's why I don't want to call myself Polly. I don't even know, like, what their policies are. I have my own. Mm-hmm. I think... Xerxes is eventually going to hear this. He hasn't heard anything he hasn't heard before. It's like...
Xerxes is more of an adult than these fucking people that you're referencing. But I also, he's only ever been like, his significant relationships have been marriage.
Yeah.
And then one of them includes a child. So it's just different. It's a different type of person.
For sure.
A real person.
I mean, people have children and neglect the show. You dated someone with the same daughter, the same age.
Yeah.
A lot of mistakes could be made with children.
Turns out you can still do cocaine if you got a daughter.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy. Lie.
People say cheat. People say it's hard to be a parent, only if you want it to be.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah. You can do whatever you want. Yeah.
We have to.
Okay, I'm sorry. Bianca, I apologize.
Thank you, Andrea.
Thank you for letting me on your show.
For ruining my life again.
Again.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Joe DeVito, what a treat.
Mm-hmm.
He loves to, you know, expound on the intellectual side of his life, and I found him very charming.
I like him. He's a nice guy. He's friends with Kyle, so I see him a lot. And yeah, I don't have to date him, but I think he's cool.
I have to admit, I saw his age, I saw some of his material, and I was worried that he might be a little, you know, behind the times and say some stuff, but he was really fun, very funny, very, very, like, on it.
Yeah.
And a little more behind the scenes, he cried after the show because we had a conversation and there was emotions.
Oh, mm-hmm. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Very sensitive.
There's a fucking puddle in here.
Mm-hmm. Keith, of course, was facing forward at his screen.
Well, what do I got to get involved?
Typing on a fake keyboard.
Yeah, completely. And me and Andrew are like, have you considered?
I'm like, Keith, oh, God.
Just like plugging and unplugging one cord for 25 minutes.
I mean, you're not wrong.
Yeah, no, I know I'm not. great week, guys. A lot has happened. It's just so much action. I can't even take it. Sometimes I see the new shows loaded and I have to like, okay, let's see who's having sex with Xerxes today.
Right.
You know? So.
Our spinoff, who's fucking Xerxes?
For VIP only.
VIP plus, the new edition.
All right.
Oh, and we have a special guest next week, speaking of, very exclusive, Xerxes will be on.
He'll be here.
He'll be on this show.
You going to be able to get to the bottom of that? What's going on?
No.
You don't think so?
But also, I wrote on the forums for the first time this week. I went across the Rubicon. I'm in. Send me your questions that you want me to ask Xerxes next week.
There you go.
And I won't be reading them.
Yeah, he still has not heard the episode that I actually describe having sex with him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So maybe he'll be caught up by then.
He's like, yeah, I was there. Cool. Nope. Accurate. Accurate. Well, it went a little differently than that.
I didn't just smack you. You asked. Also, next week on your show, my fake dad will be there. Why not? Oh. Hello.
I can't wait to meet him.
Very exciting.
Well, I did tell Xerxes, like, this will be the week where we do cover that episode. But he's totally fine. He thinks, he says, that's going to be fun.
Yeah.
That's a quote.
Everybody's fine. You know what I mean?
I mean, get your questions ready. See if you could stump the man.
Let's see him cry.
I would love that.
I'm bringing in 7 extra chords just in case.
Do you think I could do it, Keith?
I don't know. I have he is human. Like, I have talked to him.
We have proof.
And gotten deep multiple times. So he is a person. I certainly never saw him getting close to crying. Of any kind.
But he never saw you getting close to crying.
He better not. If he tells you otherwise, he's a fucking liar.
I'll punch him right in his throat.
All right, I'll give him something to cry about.
He's seen me crying like once.
No shit. And by once, I mean you just lied.
100 times.
I haven't cried in a while. Oh. I'm due. It might be today.
I cried a couple days ago. Yeah. I'm
good. You didn't cry over Game of Thrones being shitty?
No.
Maybe that you couldn't see anything? And there was
just like, who do I side with now? I don't even like any of you.
Everybody just they all start.
Arya and the Hound.
Yeah, they're just like, we're going to walk away now. Bye.
Yeah.
Okay, you got your own spin-off.
Also, my pick for ruler of the realm is Sansa. I think she's the best.
Really?
I love her.
I'm trying to figure out if I'm sexist because I hate her so much.
Yeah, you are.
Okay.
That's the answer.
Done.
Okay. Shall we?
Yes.
Sing a song to Xerxes.
To you, my dear old Xerxes, our voices now are raised. We talked a lot about you, and next week you'll be here to say, I am a really good, cool guy who's smart and knows what's up. I'm here for Hemda's safety. I value her friendship and her poonslop. CaitlinTheGirl.com